Please take your Bibles and let's turn in the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 7. Today we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. The beginning of this chapter, we saw last week that the Lord Jesus Christ has told us not to judge harshly, with this harsh, critical, condemning attitude, but rather to judge with discernment, to show patience, but at the same time, to recognize that we cannot exercise unending patience in the face of those who completely reject and completely deny the faith of, that is presented in Scripture, faith that we're to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, It ought to cause each one of us to say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. And so what Jesus does in this section is He is showing us how to do this. He's giving us a statement that's very broad and it's very general because it fits in practically everything. It has to do with prayer to God. But it fits especially into the context of how do we handle things when we are dealing with others, when we're dealing with those who are obstinate, when we're dealing with our own sins, when we're trying to help others recognize their sin. And so we need to ask and seek and knock. That's what Jesus tells us about prayer. So there's this threefold exhortation that Christ gives us. It has to do with constant prayer. And He starts out by saying, ask, and it will be given you. That command has to do with asking God through prayer. Now, the word that He uses for ask is the word that's used for an inferior who is asking a superior for something. In other words, a child asking a parent, a soldier asking a captain, someone who is a citizen asking a governor or a leader in some way. This is someone who needs to come because he doesn't have the authority and doesn't have the power to ask someone who does to grant something. And so it's a word that often implies pleading or imploring God for that answer. So to ask, how do you go about asking? We're talking about prayer. How do you ask properly? The way you do it is, number one, you have to believe in God. None of this stuff that you see on TV or in the movies, God, if you really exist, if there is a God, so-and-so. No, that's not prayer, not generally prayer. You have to believe, number one, that God does exist, that number two, that God hears your prayers that you ask of Him, and number three, that God is willing to answer those prayers. That's foundational for prayer. None of this, God, if you possibly exist, would you, you know, do this? No, it's God, I believe in you. I know that you hear and I know that you answer through Jesus Christ. There has to be faith. It's absolutely necessary for you to be able to pray. You have to have faith in Christ. As Jesus says later on in this this gospel in Matthew chapter 21, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. And so faith is absolutely necessary to be able to pray properly. It's the kind of prayer also this pleading prayer is the kind of prayer that was done in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's the tax collector's prayer where the tax collector stands far off and he will not even raise his eyes to heaven, but he continues to beat his breast and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the sinner here. I'm the one who is in need. God, be merciful to me. Ask. Seek, and you will find, Jesus says. Seek God in prayer. This prayerful seeking of God is asking Him to grant you access to Himself. You're wanting Him to allow you to come to Him. And He promises to you that He will enable you to come to Him this way. He will enable you to find Him. You seek Him, He'll enable you to find Him. In Jeremiah 29, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So God promises us, if we seek Him with all our heart, He will let us find Him. He's not going to play hide and seek with us. He's not going to run away and hide behind something where we can't find Him. But if we seek Him diligently by faith, we will find Him when we seek Him with all our heart. This seeking also is asking plus acting upon that asking. In other words, it involves putting feet to your prayer. Let's take an example. All of us ought to be praying for a greater knowledge of the Word of God. That is something that is legitimate for us to pray about all the time. But if you pray for knowledge of the Scriptures, what do you then do? Well, don't just stick your Bible under your pillow at night and assume that God somehow is going to cause the Word of God to just sort of soak into your brain as you sleep. That's not going to happen. What happens is you pray for a greater knowledge of Scripture, but then how do you act upon that prayer? You act upon it by diligently searching the Scriptures. You act upon it by studying the Word of God. You act upon it by memorizing the Scriptures. You attend worship services where the Word of God is proclaimed. You attend Bible studies where the Word of God is taught. And as you learn more and more, you seek to put into practice the things that you learn from the Word of God. That's how God answers that prayer. You pray for a greater knowledge, and He will help you do that as you seek Him through the Scriptures. So you put feet to your prayer. You study the Word of God. Knock, Jesus says. Knock, and it will be open to you. Knocking is asking plus acting plus persevering. We're to knock again and again and again until the door is open to us. Now, actually, each one of these verbs, ask, seek, and knock, implies perseverance. And the reason it does is because all of them are in the present tense. And in the present tense in Greek, what this means is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You're doing it already. Continue to do it. Keep on doing it. As the psalmist says in Psalm 105, verse 4, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. That's how we're supposed to do. We're to knock on the door of heaven. We've got an example in Scripture of persistent prayer. It's in a parable. Turn to Luke 18 for just a minute. Turn to Luke 18. Let's look at the first 8 verses. This is a parable that Jesus tells. It's one of those wonderful parables where at the very beginning of the parable, He tells you why He told the parable. Sometimes you wonder, why in the world did Jesus tell this parable? Well, here we have one of these answers. First 8 verses, Luke 18. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Okay, aha! This is the reason for this parable. This is what this parable teaches. Verse 1. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, Jesus is using an example here. We studied the parables at one time, and we looked at this particular parable. And what Jesus is doing is he is saying, if the unrighteous judge who doesn't care for God, who doesn't care for man, will still do the right thing if you are persistent enough, how much more will God, who does love you, answer your prayer and answer it speedily? You don't have to bend his arm. He already loves you. He already wants to hear your prayer. He already is ready to answer your prayer. And so if the unrighteous judge can be forced to answer through persistence, how much more will God, who already desires to answer through persistence, certainly give you what you desire? That's the point of this parable. So continual prayer, persistent prayer, is taught in this parable. And Jesus reminds us of this. So what he's saying to us is, in Matthew and in this parable in Luke, be consistent, be persistent in prayer to God. Keep on banging on the door of heaven until your heavenly Father opens and grants your request. That's what he's saying in this part of prayer. Now, the answer is promised in verse 7, and then it's repeated again in verse 8. Ask, and then you receive. Ask, verse 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Verse 8 says, for everyone who asks, receives. When you continue to ask God in prayer, he replies by giving you what you request. You receive that from him. God knows what you need before you ask him. Scripture tells us that. But he delights to have you ask. And he uses that means to enable you to grow spiritually. God could give you what you need before you ever ask him. He certainly can do that. But he normally, ordinarily, has ordained that we ask him so that we will learn to trust him and to grow spiritually. So why is prayer necessary? One of the reasons is that God wants us to learn to trust him. He wants us to learn to that when we ask, he will answer. That's what he's teaching us through prayer. Seek, and then you find. Seek, and you will find, it says. The one who seeks, finds. When you continue to seek God and his answers to your prayers, he replies by enabling you to find what you are seeking from him. God will not thwart the earnest seeking of his children in prayer. He will answer your prayers by enabling you to find what you're looking for from him. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that when we draw near to God, we can trust that God rewards those who do seek him. And finally, Jesus says, knock, and then it's open. Knock, and it will be open to you. The one who knocks, to the one who knocks, it will be opened. When you knock, God will reply. When you knock, it will be open to you. This is the answer to constant, earnest, seeking, asking, and knocking. God opens the door of heaven and grants your request. This is the general promise that God gives to all of his children who prayerfully seek him. John repeats it in 1 John chapter 5. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. And so there's a promise given to us. That's the general promise of God. And Jesus then illustrates this by drawing a contrast between earthly fathers and our heavenly Father. He says in verses 9 and 10, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a scorpion? Jesus is using this example of earthly fathers who are sinners to show the goodwill of our Heavenly Father who is sinless. An example then is of a son, a child, coming to his dad and asking for something to eat. And he asks for bread. Bread's the main course. Bread's the staple. Bread is what you live by. In Jesus' day, most often, the bread that you would find that's spoken of in Scripture is a round loaf. And it's not like the long baguettes that you find in France. It's more one of these round loaves of bread. And that little round loaf could sometimes resemble a rock or a stone. And so Jesus is saying, what earthly father would be so cruel as when his child asks for one of these small loaves of bread would give him a rock to eat instead of that bread that he's requested? And then he talks about fish. Now, fish was plentiful in the part of the country where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. And it was often served as a side dish together with the bread. That's what the feeding of the 5,000 is all about. The bread was more abundant than the fish. The fish, some folks think, the fish was used for flavoring, that it was sort of like rubbing anchovies on the bread to give it extra taste. Some of you don't like anchovies, but still, it's the idea is that the fish would have been there for extra flavoring. In any case, here's the son asking for a fish to eat, and this cruel earthly father would give him a poisonous snake? No, even sinners wouldn't do something like that, he's saying. So Jesus is driving home this point by making a comparison from the lesser to the greater. And he says in verse 11, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Earthly parents just have this innate desire, this innate impulse in us to do what is best for our children, and yet because we're all affected by sin, we fall short of doing the right thing. Our parenting is not as good as God's parenting. Okay, that's the Scriptures tell us that quite clearly. We do the best we can. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 12 basically says that fathers discipline their children as they see best, see fit. But God does it for our spiritual good. And so there is this contrast in Hebrews of the way that we do it. So we're burdened with sin. We don't do it as well as we should, and yet we try. Even evil sinners know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more does God, who is not a sinner, know how to give good things to His children? Now, the question is, does this mean then that God will always give you the exact thing that you ask for? No, not always. You see, because we're sinners, sometimes we ask for the wrong thing. We ask for things that are not for our good, even though we can convince ourselves sometimes that they are for our good. For example, you've got a 5-year-old boy, he's been watching Westerns on TV, and he wants you to give him a loaded gun. Now, if you are smart, you're not going to hand a 5-year-old child a loaded gun. That would not be the intelligent thing to do. He's not mature enough to be able to handle it. He would not know that if you point the gun and pull the trigger and somebody falls over bleeding, they're not going to get up and walk away the next minute because he just doesn't understand that yet. And so you, as a godly mother or father, would know you can't give that child a loaded revolver because he doesn't know what to do with it. He may want it. He may cry about it. But you're certainly not going to give him something like that. You know better. You want to protect him from something that would either harm him or harm someone else. That's the way it is with God. Sometimes we're like that 5-year-old wanting a loaded gun. And we think that we really need whatever this particular thing is. We really desire it. We really want it. But we don't know how to handle it. And God knows we don't know how to handle it. And so in His wise providence, because He is a good God, He will not give us what we ask for. But he will always give us something that's better. He will always give us the right thing, even if it's not what is asked for. He will give us the best thing that we need. In Luke, we've got a parallel passage. Luke 11, verse 13 says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Okay, so the gift that God gives to His children that is above every gift is the Holy Spirit and all of His benefits. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit applies the saving work of Jesus Christ to your life. In Titus, Paul says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs to the hope of eternal life." And so, the Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates us. The Holy Spirit is the one who renews us. The Holy Spirit is the one who applies the saving work of Jesus Christ to our lives. And so when we cry to God, God gives us the very best. He gives us this marvelous blessing of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit enables you to pray in accordance with the will of God. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Have you ever been in a place in your life where you knew you had to cry out to God, but you didn't know what to cry out to God for? That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, when you reach that point, when you are so desperate that you know that there's something that you need to ask God for, but you can't put words to that prayer, the Holy Spirit knows what you need, and He prays for you. All right, years ago, in 1976, in fact, my mother-in-law and father-in-law were in a car wreck. It was on a Sunday morning. They were in Florida where they lived, and they were in a car, and a pickup truck crossed the center line and hit them head on. And my mother-in-law had her back broken, so she ended up in the hospital, obviously. My father-in-law drove both of his knees through the dashboard, didn't have the effect at the time that it did later on. He had to have both knees replaced later, but at the time, it didn't show up quite as badly as that. So my wife and I went to see her mother in the hospital. And one of the things that she said to me, she was on lots of pain medication because it didn't sever the spinal cord, but it did break the bones in the back. And that's incredibly painful. And so she's on lots of pain medication. And she said to me, the thing that bothered her more than anything else was, she said, I can't think to pray. I can't do that. And I reminded her of this passage from Romans that the Holy Spirit prays for us, and the other passage that says that Jesus prays for us. And I said, so even though you can't pray, Christ is praying for you and the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And so that's a marvelous blessing that He knows how to pray even when we can't put two words together. The Holy Spirit sanctifies you also. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And it's the Holy Spirit who takes the word of God and He sanctifies us with that. And so, and there are many, many other things that the Holy Spirit does here. So God gives the Holy Spirit to His children. And the context here is God will give you the Holy Spirit so that you will be able to make those judgments that are necessary, judgments with discernment, not made out of anger and harshness, but out of compassion and mercy. He will enable you to do that. He will help you to know how to handle dealing with unbelievers or dealing with believing Christians who are sinning. And Jesus is also, by what he's saying here about asking, seeking, and knocking, laying the foundation for what he's about to say, because he's about to teach us that we are to treat our neighbors as we ourselves would like to be treated. He's going to teach us what we call the golden rule. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, next time. So, Christian, here's what he says. Pray. Never give up. Never give in. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And God will reply by opening to you and giving you His great good answer to your requests. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a marvelous blessing it is to know that You do hear and do answer prayer. Lord, I really don't know how people in the world can get along without realizing that they must rely upon You for every single thing. For Father, You have made it so clear to us as Christians that we do rely upon You for every breath, that we rely upon You for every beat of our hearts, that we rely upon You for our daily food, the water that we drink and the clothes that we wear. We rely upon You for every single thing. Heavenly Father, we thank You that when we ask, You hear. And so bless us, Heavenly Father, to learn, as Jesus teaches us here, to ask and seek and knock continually, knowing that You stand ready, that You hear, that You open that door, and that You pour out Your blessing upon us by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen.